The main theme of today's gospel is that true humility must be the hallmark of your prayers. However, the central focus of today's parable is not on prayer itself, but rather on pride, humility, and the role of grace in our salvation. Why was the tax collector's prayer better than the Pharisee's prayer? Because the tax collector actually made a connection with God, but the Pharisee only made a connection with himself. Tax collectors were despised by the Jewish community in Palestine. They were Jews who collaborated with the Roman forces by collecting from their fellow Jews taxes, and often collected more than was required and pocketed the rest. The Pharisees were just the opposite. They were the most respected members of the Jewish community, the elite, the undisputed leaders, religious leaders of the nation. And yet Jesus praises the tax collector's prayer and criticizes the Pharisee's prayer. Through the centuries, in fact, the tax collector's simple prayer, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner," has been taken up as a complete summary of Christian spirituality. There are even cases of monks who made this prayer the only words that they spoke and reached heights of sanctity by means of it. This prayer makes a connection with God because it recognizes two things. First, it acknowledges God's greatest quality in relation to fallen mankind, his mercy. The word mercy literally means to take someone else's wretchedness into one's heart. And that's what God does with us. Second, the tax collector prayer recognizes need for that mercy. He accuses himself of being a sinner, someone who has selfishly abused God's gift and used instead of loved his neighbor. The Pharisee's prayer shows no knowledge either of God's mercy or of his need for God. Rather, it is an exercise in self-admiration. God wants to connect with us, but he can only do that if we let him, and if we can't let him, if we don't know that we need him. We can tell that we are falling into the Pharisee's trap when we are over-concerned about being recognized for the good things we do. Today, I'd like to share with you a story about two youth groups that illustrate this point. St. Mary's Parish was located down the street, a couple blocks from St. Martha's Parish. And since they were close to each other, the two youth groups from the two churches were often competing with each other. They played sports against each other, and they had food drives, and they were competitive and intense rivals in about everything. And one Saturday, the youth minister at St. Mary's organized the kids into disciple teams and challenged them to go out and serve others in the community. And the theme for the activity was, do what Jesus would do. So St. Mary's youth group fanned out into the neighborhood and started serving. Some washed cars for free. Another team visited and performed for residents of a nursing home and many other tasks. At day's end, all the teams reported back to the parish. One team described how they had gone to serve an old widow who lived close to St. Martha's Parish. When St. Martha's Parish's arrival was mentioned, everyone groaned. "We mowed grass, raked leaves, and did yard work for her," said one of the students. "And after we finished, she invited us in for lemonade and prayed the rosary. And then she said to us, 'You young people from St. Martha's are always doing such nice things for us old folks.'" "Oh no," cried out the youth minister. "She thought you were from St. Martha's? Well, I hope you set her straight and told her that you weren't from St. Martha's, but from St. Mary's." "Well, no, we didn't," said the team leader. "You told us to do what Jesus would do, didn't you? We decided that Jesus would just keep his mouth shut." I'm sure all of us can appreciate this story and example it portrays. We can also do similar action next Saturday by volunteer for the St. Thomas More Go Make a Difference Day and do what Jesus would do. What matters to a Christian is not being considered better than everyone else, as the Pharisee thought, but being close to Christ, as the tax collector discovered. It's remembering our need for God, not acting as we could do just fine without him. And all of us here today recognize our need for God. Maybe not as much as we should, but to some degree. In our world today, it may not be fashionable to be a practicing Catholic. So those who come to Mass on Sunday do so because of their faith. Today's Pharisees tend to stay away from the temple. They go to the country club instead, or stay home to play or watch the football game. And in order for us to increase our humility so that we can increase our wisdom and happiness, we have to keep growing in the awareness of our need for God. Exercising that awareness will make it grow. Virtues are like muscles. When we use them, they get stronger. When we don't, they waste away. And one simple but effective way to exercise this awareness is to pray before and after meals. Nothing reminds us of our lack of self-sufficiency better than our need for life's basic necessities like food. No matter how intelligent, popular, or successful we are in the world's eyes, we are still made out of dust, and we need food to keep that dust alive. And so when we pause before and after eating to thank God for the gift of life and food, to humble ourselves in God's presence, we are like the tax collector, acknowledging our need for God, exercising the virtue of humility. Some of us may have forgotten it as a sign that we, like the Pharisees, are forgetting our dependence on God, exalting ourselves instead of humbling ourselves. And humbling ourselves as Jesus did on the cross, as he will do again today in the Eucharist, is a much better policy, because he promised those who humble themselves will be exalted. Mary, Queen of Peace.